This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to Banter with the Boys, talking all things sports. From betting and brawls, Super Bowl to Stanley Cup Finals, get laced up. It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Ringside Chirps. I'm your host, Kevin. Today with me, we've got Kyle and Smeltzy. Smeltzy, how are you today, buddy?
Man, I'm tired. Just got here straight from work and going straight back to work right after, but here to talk some Wild for a little bit.
Kyle, welcome back, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I can't wait to talk some, well, Wild have been on a downward spiral, but we're going to take some positives out of it, or at least try to find some positives. But yeah, there's plenty to get to here, so hope you guys enjoy.
All right. With that, we got a few different topics we're going to talk about today. The very first one we're going to talk about, Marco Rossi, Kyle's favorite player to talk about. He's got elevated as of the last couple of weeks there. He's gotten an elevated position with the downturn of some of our offense. I know currently right now he's with his normal lineup, but he had a bit of an elevated performance. Kyle, what are you thinking so far about Rossi and his new line?
I like it. I mean, this team needs a spark, and you know, the first line needed a spark, and Rossi has provided it. You know, he looks, you know, comfortable to me, playing with Kirill. And, you know, I didn't know they were going to move Zuccarello too. You put Boldy with Kaprizov and Rossi. I mean, skill on skill on skill, you know, good things should happen for sure. But recent games, Dean, I think, broke that lineup. Don't know why, but I think, well, Bally Sports North has been atrocious lately. I haven't been watching.
Facts.
I think I took like a four game break because Bally Sports North was having a hard time connecting, and whatever. And it wasn't just my server, it was everybody's server, which is annoying. So, but now they got it fixed. But I did see that Dean broke up the line again and went back to Zuccarello and Hartman for a bit. Don't know why, but hopefully Rossi can stay on that line, and you know, because that's been one of your bright spots right now.
Well, now as of this morning, I think he broke everything up even again.
Yep.
I mean, you got injuries and stuff, so he's moving shit around. But I mean, I think you got to leave that line together. I mean, it's kind of like the youth movement, right? It's kind of our three top guys: Kirill, Rossi. I mean, I know Kirill, we were waiting forever for him to get here. Rossi fell right in our lap in the draft, which nobody expected. So then we had excitement with him. And then Boldy has just been kind of a nice little, developed into a nice player. So,
yeah,
like, I think these guys just need more time to play together. I mean, how are you going to know what you got with them together if you keep changing it up? And I know hockey's, you know, keep changing lines up, getting different combinations, see what's working, see what's not. But you got to give it a little bit more time, I think.
So I agree. I think personally, looking at the stats right now for those four games where they were paired up, this is some of my crazy notes that I've got.
So the four games that it was that line?
Correct. Yep. Okay. So I've got four games. It was November 2nd against the Devils, the 4th against the Rangers, 7th against the Islanders, and then the 9th against the Rangers again. We had four games where that lineup was together. It was Rossi centering Boldy and Kaprizov. Again, I agree. I like that elevated role. I think it's a great lineup. Would I have liked to see Zuccarello in there for a touch? Maybe a little bit, just to see does Kaprizov and that Zuccarello kind of chemistry come back a little bit? Maybe, but I'm not like upset about that not being the case. I like the fact that Boldy got a shot. The kid's been playing well. He's back from the injury. I'm hoping he can stick it out. So personally, looking at the stats from those games, I'll go just game by game real quick. First game, November 2nd against the Devils. That lineup combo had 2 goals, 3 assists. Second game against the Rangers, 1 goal, 2 assists. Third game against the Islanders was 1 goal and an assist. And then the fourth game, which is I would assume probably why they got disbanded, they were the second line. Not the top line. They got 0 goals, 0 assists, and they had a total of about 6 shots amongst the three of them all game. So their performance dwindled over those 4 games.
What was the fourth game again? That was that ass Rangers game.
That was at yes. Yeah, we got it was really bad.
The whole team sucked. The whole team sucked. So I'm not surprised they got 0 points. So how many points total then in those first 3 games?
First 3 games for that lineup. Four goals and 6 assists in the first 3 games total. I'm not mad about it. You get some performance. You get some production. Obviously, you had Kaprizov as the number one guy. He had 2 goals for himself. Rossi had himself a couple of goals. And then Boldy was the assist king there. He had 2, 3, 4 assists in total. So I'm not mad about it.
Yeah. I'm not mad. I'm shocked after, one game. I mean, that was probably all bad. I mean, bad play from everybody.
Yes.
Dean decides to break up that line and go back to the other line.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Like you said, I'm not too disappointed with that. I would have, I don't get why go back to the, I don't get it. After Dean Evason's so, especially what we've seen through a year. I mean, Ryan Hartman and Zuccarello, Kaprizov, that line has been together for what? Since Kirill's got here, right. pretty much. So to just completely go away from that after 3 games when something's clicking. But again, the last game obviously was a bad performance, but that kind of doesn't really add up to me.
Did either of you guys catch the game yesterday?
What an ass whooping that was.
What was the Kirill line yesterday? Because I can't remember. I know I watched a good chunk of it and then was disgusted, but...
Are you talking stats for that line or what?
No,
I'm
just saying like who was on his line yesterday? Like what line did they?
Let me pull it up.
Pretty sure it
was
Zuccarello and Hartman.
And Krill. Okay.
I think they mixed it up. Mm. Like it was a mix. Yep.
So thank you to the morningpuck.com. I will shout them out later as well for some stats that I have about the defense. But line combinations last night were again Kaprizov, Zuccarello, and Hartman on the same line again. They had a single goal last night with 1 assist. Total of 5 shots amongst the three of them, an average of about 15-ish minutes of ice time amongst the three of them. Again, thank you, themorningpuck.com. Not sponsored, but their stats are awesome.
15, huh? That seems...
Yep, so Kaprizov...
What were the rest of the line's time?
Yeah, so Kaprizov on that line was 16 minutes, 49 seconds. Zuccarello was 16:27. Then Hartman was 13:02, bringing the average down a little bit.
What's the average of the other lines, forward lines?
So Pat Maroon, Eriksson-Ek, and Foligno, 13:24, 19:30, 15:43. So about 15 minutes for the Foligno line. Boldy, Johansson, Rossi, probably about a 16 minutes average there. And then Connor Dewar, Vinny Letary, and Brandon Duhaim, anywhere from 6 minutes to 14. So you probably call it about 10.
I mean, they did take, 8 penalties that game? Yeah. So a lot of it was special teams, by the way.
100,000%.
Sure, so that's actually going to skew those numbers, yes. I'm sure. I didn't even think about that. You're 100% correct.
Yeah, it was, 8 penalties or something like that.
It was something ridiculous.
Just stupid.
It was bad. But we can definitely talk about that game here in a little bit. Thinking back to the Rossi elevated play, I'm happy to see his production there. Again, over those last 4 games on that line, he had a goal and a couple of assists, which I'm not too upset about. Again, his ice time kind of dwindled towards the end of it. not the greatest, but I would have liked to personally have seen that lineup stay the same. If anything, mm-hmm. maybe drop Boldy down and put Zuccarello back up there again. But disappointed to see him drop back down in the lineup. Obviously, last night with the lineup there, he was on Boldy and Johansson's line, which, of course, they didn't produce anything. Rossi and Boldy did have an assist, though. So that's kind of what I've got for the Rossi elevated play. Kyle, do you have any final thoughts or Smelzy? Anything else?
No, you nailed it. I mean, I want to see him, like, with the top line. I don't want to see him, you know, going back and forth here. It's only been three games since, you know, you elevate him to the first line, and then you're... I mean, I get that the team's struggling a bit, but man, you just leave your skill guys with their skill guys, because we definitely need it right now.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think I'm going to, these next few games, looking forward in general, I think it's just something more for, I know, me to pay attention to, because I played goalie, so I'm more of a goalie guy anyway. Sure. Not that I don't pay attention to the game as a whole, because you have to, but... It's just something to keep an eye on, you know, for me personally, like the different line combinations. Let's plug him in there. Let's plug him in there and really see if there's some sort of, not rhythm, but...
I think rhythm is a good
word. Yeah, rhythm, like chemistry.
Chemistry. Or just something as far as like what Dean's trying to do. That's what I'm trying to say is, like, he keeps changing it up. So I want to try to see if, like, try to get in the mind of Dean. Like, what is he seeing that he's trying to do? I don't know. I'm just curious. You know, at the line combinations going forward, for sure.
Sure. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So, but yeah, I don't understand after him just being consistent with lines throughout, you know, the years we've had him, deciding to change.
Refusing to change.
Refusing,
lines.
Yes, now, exactly. Now he's changed them. Yeah, we'll see what happens, though.
And moving on to our next segment here, really quick, I want to just talk about the current state of the Wild right now as it sits. Today is November 13th, Monday. The Wild are currently at a record of 5 wins, 8 wonderful losses, and 2 overtime losses, currently on a 3-game losing streak. With that being said, the last week we had a little bit of shuffling going around. Kalen Addison got traded, sent him out to San Jose for pretty much, as Smelsey mentioned a second ago, some loose change. We sent him off. We ended up getting a player in return, which didn't produce anything in the AHL, and also a 6th-round pick. And in turn, we additionally got Zach Bogosian for a 7th-round pick, only a $25,000 difference in salary cap from Bogosian to Addison, really just being a 6-man D-man to 6-man D-man.
Maybe Judd Brackett can nail that 5th-round pick. Maybe that can turn on into another Kaprizov, but we'll see.
We can only hope so.
Smelty, what were you going to... Did you want to kick us off here with the Addison trade?
Yeah, no, just, yeah, confirming we gave up we got back a 5th-round in Adam Raska from the Sharks for Addison. And a lot of Wild fans freaked the hell out about this situation. I follow a lot of random fan pages on Facebook. It's all Facebook's good for me.
Same.
But other than Marketplace, buddy, you're my Marketplace friend.
Marketplace, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, way too much time. Anyway... I get why people are upset, because he's got an offensive potential, and I mean, we've seen that, obviously, but there has absolutely been no sign of any defensive potential for me personally. So, like, the fact that he was already sitting kind of started giving you ideas that he was probably, they were looking to...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Move them. And then the fact that they did also told me that Spurgeon would probably be back either, you know, very, very soon. And he was back next game. So, and then they go out and get Bogo, who's more of a physical force on the D-line. Definitely going to be our third pairing, but bring some size and a little more physicality to our defense, which I think is needed. I guess we'll see how Addison does in San Jose. He'll probably thrive. You know, because anybody the Wild get rid of thrive typically, although you don't hear too much of Granlund and Charlie Coyle much anymore.
Yeah, there's definitely been a few quote unquote busts, if you will, going elsewhere out of the Minneapolis here, out of the state of hockey. But thinking about, I did see an article that was written with Addison making a quote, something about how he didn't really expect it, which to me is kind of sounds weird. I'm pretty sure he did know it was coming, but also he said it was a new opportunity for him. I think a change of pace is good, change of scenery is good for anybody, regardless of who you are. To your point, Smeltsy, I do believe that he was on the way out. There was rumors and there was some comments written in articles that him and Dean didn't really get along. Dino wasn't very pleased with his performance and just wasn't very happy just in general with him.
Well, and it's just like, who knows how much money Addison will actually garner because he's on a one-year deal right now. Yep. We signed like a one-year prove-it deal, right? So far, he hasn't proved it, right?
Yeah.
But like, even so, maybe we just knew we probably weren't going to keep him anyway. So you just had to kind of, you know, in a way, get what you can for him.
Give him a shot. Yeah, no, I think it's...
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. Go ahead.
I was just saying, and now we got some young guys coming up that can maybe get some playing time. What's his name? Damien Hunt.
Damien Hunt's
good. He's up here right now.
The Wilder. Get some of these guys some more NHL experience and see what they can do.
Yeah, we got Mermis here right now. I know Hunt is on the trip at the moment as well. He's played a couple of games recently. I know, Kyle, you're kind of our local... What's the term I'm looking for?
Elite hockey mind.
Yeah, there you go. Elite hockey mind. Yeah. I know you're more of our prospect guy. What do we got going on in Iowa as far as the defense is concerned? And that'll bring us to our next topic.
Damon Hunt's your guy. But with Jack Peartz, you know, with St. Cloud, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Petrovsky. He's Czech. He's good. Carson Lambos. There's a lot of young talent coming up in the Minnesota Wild's prospect pool for defensemen. But yeah, the trade kind of surprised me a little bit just because, it's still early on in the season. And it seemed like Bill Guerin and Evason kind of gained Addison's respect going into, you know, like making the team and stuff. As soon as the Wild changed up their power play, I think it was like, I think this was multiple or this was probably a couple days before the trade. They sent out five forwards and Addison wasn't the guy up top.
On the power play?
On the power play, yeah. Yep. So I was like, okay, that's weird. And then not the next day, but I think it was the following day he gets traded. And I was like, oh, that's probably why. I thought he would bring a little bit more. Power play, he shot the puck a lot, but the pucks weren't getting, you know, they were either getting deflected, they weren't scoring goals. I'm kind of surprised they don't have Faber up there, to be honest with you. He brings so much to, so much offensive spark. I hope Faber gets a chance at PP1, because I think he's so dangerous with the puck, and he deserves a chance at least. That trade kind of did take me by surprise. Just knowing the skill he has. But again, none of these games, I was like, oh wow, Kalen Addison, like look at him. Like he really, you know, played what he was probably our best defenseman. Like, and you know, knowing Guerin and Evason, if you're not going to play defense, your ass is getting shipped. Yeah. He got the opportunity and he just didn't produce. And, you know, we said goodbye and he's out of here. And hopefully we get a decent prospect with that fifth round pick.
Well, speaking of prospects and picks, talking about some of our defensive woes as of late. Again, we're on a 3-game losing streak right now. The boys need some friggin' help. I got a little bit of numbers here, boys. I'm not quite sure how they'll all kind of stack together, but let me pull these together. So lack of consistency on the defensive pairings for me has been one of the banes of our existence personally. As of, again, thank you to the morningpuck.com. Again, not sponsored, but these guys have incredible stats. Super cool to work with. They have had 12 different defensive pairings this entire season. 15 games in, 12 different defensive pairings, most notably Kyle's favorites, the number one defensive pairing in the league, Brodin and Faber paired up 10 games total this season so far as a defensive pair, and then 10 games for Mermis and Middleton. They got a total of 6 together, including last night's game. So the lack of consistency for me is probably part of that. I don't know how many block shots we've got. A lot of the defense is blocking shots, getting in the way, but we need some help. Goaltending hasn't been great either, but similar to what I've always heard in soccer, it's not the goaltender's fault. If the ball gets to him, it's already kind of a lost cause. Similar to hockey, it's not always the goaltender's fault. You got five other guys in front of him.
But your goaltender does need to be your best penalty.
Agreed. Killer. Agreed, absolutely. And last game, I think, was a big proponent of that. We were on the PK like 8 times last night. But defense needs some help.
But when you're on the penalty kill, like you said, 8 times, that's obviously a lot. Usually it's not that much, right? Yeah. But even 2-3 times, dude, that's kind of unacceptable. As a goalie, like, you're now you got to keep an eye on everybody, and they're going to have a man somewhere that's not covered, and you just need to know where he is in your brain at all times. If he moves over here, now he's got to move over there in your brain too. You just got to know where he is at all times. So, I mean, playing on a penalty kill all the time, you're playing from behind already. It just sucks. Like, you're losing energy. It's unacceptable to me.
I'm disappointed. And with our defense right now, we're at 63 goals against this season, which is second freaking highest in the league behind Kellen Addison's new team, the San Jose Sharks, with 66. So we're really not that far off from being the worst in the league with goals against.
Did your, what is it called, Morning Puck?
TheMorningPuck.com.
TheMorningPuck.com. do they have any numbers on, like, odd man rushes or anything like that?
Breakaways?
Okay. Because that's the thing I've noticed. The games I have been able to catch at a length, you just see the odd man rushes all game. Or straight up breakaways. Like, you can't expect your goalie to stop him every time. Now, I will say there's some shots that are just
you would think you would
be able to save that. I'm no NHL goalie, but you would think you'd be able to get there, and they're just not getting there. So I will say the goalie play also is just not good right now, especially from Gus. Flower seems like he was kind of getting it together, played okay in the shootout, but also lost a shootout. So it's... I don't want them to bring up any other goalie right now, but they brought up Wallstedt just for that trip that's coming up to Sweden. Obviously, we talked before we start recording, probably as an emergency backup situation, yeah. But...
Knock on wood, it ain't.
But I think, you know, if your defense in front of you is not playing well, you're not going to play well either. You can play out of your mind and still not play, win games.
I agree.
You know, so... Yep. But I'm not saying it's all on the defense. I mean, the goalie play is definitely part of it. I mean, as a whole,
yep.
The team as a whole is just, I don't know. We'll get into that when we start talking about some Dean, but
we're in the dumps.
I just don't get it. Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Looking at it right now, though, on a little bit of a positive note for the defense, the captain, Jared Spurgeon, has returned from injury. He's been back for a game or two now. Have you guys seen his play at all? How do you think he's feeling? Do you think he's back to full 100%? Do you think he's still milking it, or not milking it, but still kind of recovering, and they're just like, dude, we need you. Just figure it out.
Still kind of getting back used to game speed, I think.
Sure.
Because he didn't even play a game yet this season.
You mentioned the other day that he had actually been
in regular season. I think it was the last preseason game is when he got injured. Yep. I think. I can't remember. But, like, I know even if it wasn't, it was the first game of the season then or something. It was dumb early. So I think he's just easing his way back into the
speed. Knocking
the
rust off.
Yeah.
Spurgeon's been... okay, but yeah, he's still knocking the rust off. But boy, does Middleton need Spurgeon. Middleton's a -7 on the season. He hasn't looked good at all, which kind of surprised me because last year he was just so consistent. But again, he's with Spurgeon, so hopefully that pairing can get it together because we desperately need it right now. We need something. But also, it does hurt that Gaudreau is out. Too. I mean, special teams, he's our penalty killer, you know, with him and Eck out there up front, with Spurgeon out there too. So, I think the penalty kill will get better when we're, 100%, but right now, they need to grind out some games, very quick because the Central Division is super competitive. We all know that. So they're just going to have to grind it out and hopefully not get any more injuries here.
Hopefully we can stay out of the box. Hopefully we can stay out of the injury reserve list. Time will tell as to how things are going to go with our defensive woes. Moving on to our next segment here. We did touch a little bit on the goaltenders here so far this season. Obviously we have our goaltending tandem of Philip Gustafson and Marc-Andre Fleury. last night's game was pretty abysmal. Not much there else to say on that one. But Smelsey, I know you got some thoughts on the goaltending this season so far. What do you got, buddy?
I mean, just looking at the tandem as a whole, right? You know, honestly, to me, I thought Gus was going to come into the season and just kill it, to be honest with you.
Same here,
he wrapped up the season pretty well, and I was like, okay, I felt kind of confident with Gus being our number one and then Fleury kind of being our number two.
Yeah, especially after game one.
Yeah, right.
With the Panther game.
Right, and I thought that Fleury would be fine, and Fleury's kind of starting to play better now as the games kind of go on, as he's starting to get into the season. But all in all, they still look rough. I mean, if you're just looking at a stat line, right, which is nothing special, anybody can do this. But if you take a look, I mean, Fleury's 3.41 goals against and Gus is 4.64 goals against. I mean, that is just, oh my God. Even Fleury's is bad. But Gus at 4.6, dude, are you kidding me?
That's bad. Yeah,
you can't, and I know the defense is playing bad. I know that. And I do blame the defense for a lot, but like at some point it's on you as well. And like you were just mentioning, Kyle, before we even started getting going on the pod, how both goalies are under 900 save percentage.
Yep,
yeah. Yeah. Flowers at 879 with Gus at 872. It's bad, bro.
Yeah. Fleury and Gustafson have allowed four or more goals in 10 of 15 games this season.
Holy shit.
The Minnesota Wild are 1-8. In those games.
Well, yeah.
1-8 and 1. 1-8 and 1.
Yeah, I would imagine. If you're going to let up four goals a game, you're...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Losing that shit.
Yeah. So
I don't, there's no answer. There's no answer for this, really. No, you don't bring Jesper Wallstedt up. That is a bad idea. Leave him down there. Now, he just got called up again, like we've already mentioned, for their little trip to Sweden, which makes sense as an emergency goalie. I would imagine he would practice with the team. Might as well. What else are you going to do? But I don't think he's going to play. I think you need to wait till next year for him. Now, I think if somebody approaches the Wild, they're like, hey, we want Flower on our team so we can make a cup run, which I don't see anybody doing right now. No. You know, go for it, probably, right? I'm still going to have a Fleury jersey someday because I still think it's crazy that he's playing for my Minnesota Wild. I never would have guessed. He's still a Hall of Fame tendy, but it's it. This is the end of the road for him. Gus, this is not a good look for Gus either. I think you do expect to see Jesper up next season, however.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But yeah, they... It's one game at a time. That's the only way I see any light at the end of the tunnel here for the Minnesota Wild. Just grind out a game, win one game, you know, use that momentum in the next game. Kind of like what the Vikings are doing right now, just stacking up wins. But, yeah, they just got to grind it out. They can't bring anybody up. So it's gonna be a challenge for them. But if you win one and, you know, you got some momentum on you.
You can go on a roll.
You can go on a roll. Tons of teams have done it. So
yeah. But, well, like I said before, we're in a 3-game losing streak right now. If somebody were to get hot, get a couple of goals under our belts, I feel like the big thing for the Wild too is we're always playing from behind. It's not very often where you come out into a game and we're playing with a 2 or 3 goal lead. It's, hey, we've got a single goal lead and 30 seconds to 5 minutes later,
good
it's
luck.
Tied up, or we're just getting shit on and we're losing again.
Yeah, it's like it's like we go on the penalty.
Yep.
It's power play goal. You know, especially the teams that we played. I mean,
yep.
I don't know what the Stars, the Rangers, the Islanders, even the Sabres, I think all of them are in the top 10 for power play percentage. And so what did the Stars go? 5 for 5 or something?
It was
5 for 5 and then 2 shorthanded goals. I mean, it was
bad.
It was crazy.
Yeah, I saw the article that Russo had written, or I think it was Joe Smith, because Russo was on vacation or something. He mentioned, this is a tweet from, or... There's a quote from the head coach of Dallas saying, if you're going to give us those, we're going to make you pay for it. And it's the exact same thing that we saw last year in the playoffs.
And in Vegas when DeBoer was in Vegas.
100%. DeBoer has always got our number. Thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. He's got our number, and there's not much we can do about it. And especially if you play like hot garbage like we did yesterday, you get an 8-2 or 8-3 just ass whooping. And it ends up taking Marc-Andre Fleury's goals against average. Before last night's game, he was a 2.75. After last night's game, he was up to Smouncy's point of 3.41.
Okay, so what was he at? 2.75? See, that makes sense.
Yep.
That makes sense because, like I said, he was playing better as of late.
Yeah.
Like I said, I redid the stats for since we last recorded the last pod, which also was not including last night. Holy crap, sorry. Which... I don't know if somebody wants to do some quick math here. I didn't get the actual percentage, but
what do you got?
On 186 shots against, Flower gave up 19 goals. So I don't know what that percentage is. I'm not a mathematician off the top of my noggin.
Tyler, I got to ask you something.
It's about 10% roughly. It's about 10% goals. Sorry. So you're saying it was 186 shots and he let in how many goals?
19.
So it'd be 19 divided by the 186 would be, sorry, other way around.
No. Nope.
Okay, 186 divided by 19, 9.78, 9.79, okay. So almost
10%. 9.79? That's not bad.
It's not great, but...
Wait, did you say 9.7? We're doing our math wrong, bro.
That's the number.
That can't
you,
be
You guys probably got it flipped. Anyways, that was fun. let me ask you... Tyler, are you surprised? Are you guys surprised? You know, I know last night's game was just so bad in all aspects of the game, but if you were the coach, would you pull Flower when it's the fifth or sixth goal?
Yes.
Or you know, I know, like, let's say, you know, why wouldn't you try to spark anything? I get that. You know, the game's pretty much almost over, but just it, I feel like it doesn't do the team any good leaving Flower in net for the entire game. But yeah, like even after the fourth or the fifth, I mean, change up something, right? Like,
I know Dean Evason's been one of those type of guys where he hates to pull folks.
I figured it out.
We just didn't move the decimal point over.
No, you got to divide the number of saves by the number of shots. So it comes out to be an 8.97 save percentage.
Okay, so
gotcha, that makes sense. So, yep. Sorry, we're clearly not mathematicians around here at Banner with the Boys. I still apologize. Under 9, but good save.
Yeah. But yeah, so not horrible, right? And that in that length in those games, which would have been 12 games that I accounted for, again 13 being last night, which I didn't add to this. Flower was 3-3-1, and that one is a shootout loss.
Shootout loss, right?
And then he also had a shootout win in that.
Yep.
So trending in the right direction, but
we talked about it in the very first episode this year too, that Flower tends to play well in the beginning of the season and then taper off towards the end of the year as well. So. To Kyle's point, do you think it would have been worth pulling him in that case there? I'm not mad about Dean Evason leaving him in there, to be quite frank. We didn't play well regardless as a team. Let the boys fight back. Let them try to find something. Because I heard also in the postgame interview with Evason that he was saying that players on the bench were saying, go out there, don't turn pucks over. Don't turn pucks over. And that exact same person would go out there, turn a puck over. And then they would just kind of get all in their heads as well. So I'm not mad about him leaving him in there, letting them all try to fight back and fight for something.
No, I'm just worried about, like, confidence-wise. So, I mean, 8's a huge number, right?
8's a huge number, but he was pissed after 2.
Yeah, I know Fleury's, you know, he probably just doesn't give it. He doesn't give a shit. Like, he's like, oh, well, okay, not my fault, but, like, that sucks. But at the same time, I feel like if I were to let up 5 or 6, like, by the 6th goal, I think I would lose a little bit of confidence. I don't know if, I don't know. Like, I've never been a goalie, but, like...
Yeah, to be honest, like, I've played in a couple leagues at Mariucci and stuff, and, you know, I'm kind of a sieve. So, like, you know, after, like, that 5th one or whatever, I'm just kind of like, it is what it is. Like, it's not going to get better than 5, right? I just don't want that number to hit 6 now. And that's kind of the mentality that you got to get in when you're having a rough game like that. You know, it's almost... That's almost harder for me than, like... If I have 5 minutes left in the third and I'm borderline shutout, which of course now I get nervous because I like getting shutouts. But it's almost harder to not let up that six goal than the one for the shutout. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
In mentality wise, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I was just like, so six goes in, seven goes in. Now you're at eight. And it's, I feel like that would just, I don't know.
He's also been in the league forever.
I know.
And he's a professional. So like today he probably woke up and was like,
new day.
Well, that sucked, but
let's fly.
I got to go get it. You know, if you know, you just have to go get it again.
Yeah.
If you love it, you have to go get it.
And I think, again, I'm not mad that Evason let Fleury sit there and marinate in that one because everybody marinated in it. It wasn't like Fleury got to take the easy way out after two goals and then Gus came in and gave up six. It's no, Fleury gave up all eight and the guys in front of him played like dog shit. I'm not mad that he left him in there. I think it was kind of an awakening, which he also talked about this morning as well, was today's practice was going to be a whooping. And from what it sounds like, it was.
And I don't even think Dean Evason has ever really pulled any of our goalies if they even had a bad game. Like
He definitely has.
Well,
but
not often. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He just leaves him in there.
He likes to let the guys fight for it and try to pull it back together for the team and for the group.
Well, I mean, if we're done with goalies,
we
might as well talk about Dean at this point.
Let's talk about him.
What does he have to do at this point to get to light a fire? I mean, who knows what happened at practice today other than more new line combinations?
No, I don't know. But maybe new line combinations.
No, there was. I'll pull them up for you.
I'm guessing a lot of skating, a lot of Herbies, lightning drills.
It's going to be an ass. My assumption, from my understanding, it was an ass whooping. I mean, you can't go 8-2 or 3 against the Stars. Just the team that took you out last year in the postseason and let them just walk you like that. Especially against all the penalties that they took, all the undisciplined penalties as well. Like, and don't freak, you know, obviously don't get me wrong. They went down a guy because of a 5-minute major and a game misconduct for the cross checking or whatever call against, I think it was Duhaime, but still.
I mean, there's been so many slow starts this year. Like, first period alone, I think, I don't know how many I've seen yet, but there's been at least a few games that they've had 3 or 4 shots. They just come completely, like, come out flat. And it's like, oh, like, here we go again. Like, why? This is like Mike Yo era right now. Like, is it right now? I mean, like Dean or not, you know, if stuff isn't working and they continue to not work, I really think Dean's on the hot seat. I mean, we saw it with what's his name? Woodcraft or from the Oilers. He just got canned.
He go.
I think the Oilers were like 2-8, like worst team in the NHL. Yeah.
And they won the next
Cup
night.
Contender. Yeah, and
they won the next game.
Yeah, I don't know if he's lost the room or not, or
I think that's a question you have to ask. You have to.
Yeah, I mean,
because he could have. That I was literally thinking of that to myself on the way over here. Like, I don't think he has, but it's really starting to trend that direction. Like, our guy's just not. And not taking what he's saying.
And there's a lot of, there's been so many games where they're just off to a slow start. Like, first period is just a dumpster fire. And then they come back in the second, play better. And then you're playing catch up at that point. So really hard.
Yeah, that was to catch.
Yeah, it's hard to win games when you're down, down a goal or two. But yeah, like, it just seems like he may have lost the room or something. So I
think to that point, who just came back 2 games ago? Your captain. If your captain's not in there with you guys every day playing in those games, you're left with then 3 assistant captains, which was Eriksson Ek, Kaprizov, and Foligno. Kaprizov obviously is learning English. He's way better with English, and he's been speaking up a bit more. Eriksson Ek, we know him as a little bit more of a timid player, but he will stand up for everybody. And Foligno, I think, as I'm gonna throw him in here, took over Dumba's spot as well, where he was very vocal. Every article that I read about the assistant captains when Dumba got traded out and Kaprizov got the A was Dumba was very, very vocal. Kaprizov had to fill those shoes. You lose Spurgeon, who is your captain, who obviously is kind of like a squeamish mouse at some points, is not very vocal. We don't know what happens behind those closed doors. After the whooping last night was a very long closed door meeting. I'd love to know what happened in that meeting because right now your captains need to step up. I will give Spurgeon credit. Your team just gets shit on 8-3 or 8-2 at home on Hockey Fights Cancer Night. And what happens after that long closed door meeting? Spurgeon goes out there, talks to Kevin Gorg, and takes on the chin. He's your captain. answering those hard questions. Wes Walls, as much as everyone hates him, he said the exact same thing I just said, and I appreciated him saying it because he's true. It's 100% right. Your captain's got to be the one being vocal, stepping up there for you guys. And did Dean lose the room? Has he lost the room? I think he might have. But also, who is the leadership in the group? Your captain hasn't been in there for 2-3 weeks. Who do you got? You got Kaprizov? Maybe he's up there screaming
at people.
Which
is really weird because Spurgeon isn't.
He's not vocal.
No. And honestly, I think Maroon is pretty vocal. I think Foligno is vocal. I think when mm-hmm. Zuccarello is pissed, he's vocal. And he has been kind of pissed lately, rightfully so. But yeah, like.
I'm disappointed with the play that we've had so far. I don't think Dean's lost the room yet. But
But it's trending that way.
It's
not looking good.
I'll predict it here. This is now the second losing streak we've had this season. The first one was 4 games. We came back with a win. Now we're on 3 games. We have a few days off until, Thursday or Friday, maybe Saturday when we play in Sweden, which is great. If we lose that game and come back here, maybe lose another one, I think Dean's gone.
You think he's gone this early?
I think he's gone.
Wow.
Don't get me wrong. Bill Guerin has a lot of things to take on and a lot of things that he has to look into. But right now, we've got 2 years until our cap space is taken care of and we have a shot at the cup, potentially, because we get that money back.
Oh, you're saying in 2 years?
Yeah, in 2 years.
I was
like,
we have no shot at a cup.
No. In 2 years when we get our money back for the Parisian suitor contracts.
Yeah.
I think in this right now, it's a lot of just make it through.
Well, and that's the thing that frustrates me about all these wild pages and all this crap talking on BG. Like, first off, he didn't sign Suter and Parisi to those freaking deals. Second off, the Suter and Parisi deals are tied for 7th for the biggest NHL contracts of all time. You know who else freaking did some shit like that? The Chicago Blackhawks. They signed Patty Kane and Jonathan Toews to big deals the same year they won the cup. They did not win another cup after they signed both those guys to such massive deals because you can't build the rest of the team around them.
Yep.
You can't. Pittsburgh went out and won a cup after signing Crosby and Malkin to 2 massive deals a few years after they signed him. Crosby signed his in 13 and Malkin signed his in 14. But like, and they won in like 16 and 17 or 15 and 16. It was Blackhawks. Then Pittsburgh, 16 and 17. But my point is like, it's so hard to build a team unless you have a crap ton of young guys. That's why people are so frustrated with BG signing Zucks, Hartman and Foligno to such
3-4 year
bigger
deals.
Kind of bigger deals for those types of guys. Yep. Those are bridge deals, people.
Mm-hmm.
That's to get us through these 2 years and to stay competitive.
Yep.
If the Wild weren't competitive, the state would start on fire. It already is, and they're upset that we're losing. What do you expect?
We can't do anything.
That's where I'm at. What do you expect? And people getting mad at BG for something he really had. He was handed a mess, and he's trying to clean it up. That's what he's trying to do with no money.
Yeah.
So also building, I don't think you can do anything until those 2 years.
Also building a pretty good prospect pool.
That's what
him
I mean.
And Judd Brackett, yes.
100%.
As much, we all want the Wild or any Minnesota sport team to win a championship someday, but.
State of hockey.
Yes.
Allegedly.
And like.
Nah, we are.
As I was going to say, but yeah, like, it hurts to say it, but. You guys just need patience. Give these, younger guys to develop. Wait till Suter and Parisi's deal go out the door. And then you got the free agent class after that looks pretty nice. You got Leon Draisaitl right up there. Offer him the bag. But you can't really judge Guerin too much yet just because – you can't do a lot right now, but it'll be really interesting and fun. Probably the most I'm going to predict the most fun when he has all this money to play with.
No, and I 100% agree with you.
But
and
yes, we just have to stay patient. I know it hurts. We've been patient for 23 damn years, but there is light at the end of the tunnel here.
And what you said, like, we have a good prospect pool. That pool keeps gaining experience and growing. Then we hit the free agent market.
Yep.
Dude.
Judd Brackett has been on fire for the most part with his picks. Last year was a little bit weird. Still don't know about Strammel, but we'll see how he does at Wisconsin this year. But yeah, other than that, he's, I mean,
it's the Fairweathers, sorry, but yeah, it's the Fairweather fans that don't pay attention to prospects. Right. They don't understand. They just see Minnesota Wild and they live here and they're like, oh, we should be amazing because we're the state of hockey. No, we're the state of hockey because a lot of people grow up with damn skates on their feet.
We're not trading first round picks.
That's what I was just going to say.
Fletcher's era, we traded everything.
Right.
Yeah, I guess Fairweather fans are surprised because at this point, they don't know what the hell to do with the prospects that we've got now because they're always been traded. To your point, it's the Fletcher era of trading everything we've got for something in the moment for a bridge 1 year, 2 year deal for some whatever that does nothing for us. And we got nothing in return. They go off somewhere else and they're successful elsewhere, but not here. So I love the fact that Guerin is keeping the young bucks here, trading in for more and more players. I want to see the prospect pool and Judd and those guys really be successful because then you get players like Kaprizov. You get players like a Boldy or a Rossi that maybe get looked over or overlooked by somebody else, or maybe you can play.
Yeah, I mean, you got two Russian studs coming up with Murat Kuzadinov, Yurov. I mean, those two alone.
Dude, the future is bright.
Yeah,
they just they're
gotta get there.
You get out of your tunnel vision.
We just gotta
see the bigger picture.
Yep, see the bigger picture and just.
And it's tough right now. I mean, again, we're on a 3-game losing. This is the second 3+ game losing streak so far this season.
So I wanted to touch on that. I finally found those lines that I was talking about.
Yeah, oh, for practice
that they
today.
Changed it up on practice today.
Talk to us.
This is from your boy Russo.
Hey. Shout out Mike Russo.
He says, I'm just going to quote all of this it's good, and it's on Twitter, X, whatever. Russo says, no Kirill Kaprizov in today's Wild practice. Nick Paton. Is it Paton or Patan? I can't remember.
It's
Patan. That's what I thought. Patan, a placeholder on Kirill's line. So the big change in practice is a reunion of last March's dominant Johansson, Eriksson Ek, Boldy line. Rossi with Zuccarello and Patan, Kirill. And then Hartman between Maroon and Foligno.
That's a beefy line.
I was just about to say, honestly, I kind of like that line.
That's why, like, just leave that line.
Yeah.
Leave Hartman. That's a perfect third line right there.
I agree.
Don't change that.
That's a big line, boys.
Yeah.
That's a big line.
Yeah. Don't mess with that line.
I'm not mad about that.
Thanks, Russo, for the insight.
Yeah. As always, I know Russo's a huge fan of the Banner with the Boys podcast. So great to have him contributing.
we'll have him on here in the future, listener. Hopefully.
Yep. Funny enough, he did shit on Kyle once. I did ask him what his thoughts about Russo or what was it, Brodin and Faber. About I sent a screenshot
the best,
the group
the
chat.
Best tandem. Yeah
best tandem in the NHL for the defensive pairing was Brodin and Faber. He one just of replied, the best. LOL.
You messaged or so
yeah.
on
I sent
Twitter
a screenshot of the group chat. Yeah.
Did you? I didn't see it. And he said LOL.
Yep.
I said one of the best. Yep. Yes. Not the best, but one of the best.
Yep. Yeah.
If not potential to be the
damn,
best.
Damn, got an LOL from Russo. I think it's a good take.
I love Russo, man. Russo's great. A lot of people hate on him.
He'll just have to wait. He'll
have to come on the banner and tell Kyle to his face.
If we're
Russo, come on.
Step up, dog.
You know, if we're finally healthy and Brodin and Faber are together, just watch out. Just watch them. And we'll see. I mean, they're plus minus plus seven for Brodin, plus three for Faber. But yeah, they've been split up through this whole mess because the defense have been struggling. So
yeah, 10 total games with those guys paired up this season in 15 games so far. So 2/3 of the season, they've been paired up together. I'm not surprised to see those numbers. +7, +3 for those two guys. Obviously, Faber's a young buck. I'm not upset to see that. So
no, and he did make that one mistake. I forgot what game it was.
He did.
But was that pinch?
Yeah. He did after that, though?
Oh, he was like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
100%.
He's like, yep.
That's an adult. That's a mature hockey player. That's an adult decision. That is a man's taking that ass chewing for your mistake.
And I love it.
Own up to it. Tell everybody what it is, and that's just how it goes.
I love it. So
yep.
rookies make mistakes. So
I agree.
I'll just learn from it.
I agree. Well, boys, this has been a fun one. This is a good little stopping point here. Coming up next, you have the Sweden game. Guys are traveling, playing this weekend in Sweden, bright and early, 10 a.m. Central Time. So make sure you got your coffee ready to go. Watch the boys play in Sweden. It's kind of a fun little thing that the NHL is doing this year, some overseas games. Kyle, any parting thoughts for this episode?
I'm hoping for a Wild 6-1, 6-0 win for the Wild this next game here in Sweden. You got Brodin in his hometown. You got Wallstedt in his hometown, even though he's not playing. And then I think who's the other Swede to be? Oh, Eriksson Ek. So it'll be a nice little house party in Sweden for them. So
it's gonna be a
hopefully a 6-1 win. That's my prediction.
It'll be a fun trip. Smeltsy, what do you think, buddy?
I don't know.
That was pretty bold. Six. It's probably gonna be a close game, but I think they win. I think they win. If it's not 6-1, it's gonna be a 3-2, 4-2 game. We win.
I just want to see improvement from the team as a whole. Whether we win or lose, yes, a win would obviously be an improvement. But depending on how we lose, it could potentially be an improvement as well. I just want to see our play be better.
And stay out of the damn box.
That's, I think I just
that's
saw,
another one.
What was it? I put my computer away now, but I think Duhaime has 34 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
Leads the team.
He took a bad one last game.
I think Ek was second at 24. So that's quite a... I mean, that's... Come on, man.
It's a lot.
Get your shit together.
Yeah, and if you don't take penalties, I think they're in... majority of these games, I mean, they probably win a couple, who knows, but yeah, they just need to stay out of the box, and power play needs to be a lot better too. We can talk about that on next episode if it doesn't improve next game, but they got to score on the power play. My gosh.
And stop giving shit up on the penalty kill at the same time.
Yep, that too.
So pretty much the
special teams.
The game
special
of
teams.
Hockey as a whole, the Wild need to improve on right now.
Who'd have thought, right? Well, on that note, boys, this has been a great episode. Thank you guys so much for your time tonight. It's been great to hang out with you and talk some Wild puck. Well, make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Please make sure you check out the next one. And boys, we'll see you in the next week.
If you have any comments, leave them below.
Don't judge us on our math.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.